Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
We've been in a series called Vision, because without vision, people perish. You have to have vision. And in a review of the series, we talked about responding to the coming storms. What are you talking about? Well, there's been storms, wars, rumors of wars, the birth pains Jesus talked about, birth pains. There are storms that come in life. There's a number of reasons for those. How do you respond when the storms come? How do you deal with the challenges that are facing our nation, the challenges that are facing our children? How do you deal with the storms? And I preached that message from Joel chapter 2, a powerful text of scripture of what a nation should do when it's in crisis. And the crisis in Joel's time was a soon invading army coming from the north. How many of you know that we have possible situations happening even as we speak? There are nations that are planning the demise of the United States of America. Are you aware of that? Are you aware that even off the coast of Alaska have been military vessels from China and from Russia? And we really don't know what to believe from the news, because they lie, they tell the truth, I guess, sometimes, and it's, who knows really? Thank God that God's on the throne, righteousness and the truth are the foundations of it. And then no matter what the fake news put out, or no matter what the news, real news might be, we don't have to worry, we don't have to fret, because God is going to work it all for good. Can you say amen? But there are things we can do. As I preached to you weeks ago, and this is available on YouTube, Spotify, on our own web stream, Facebook, if you can find it, YouTube's the best place to go, and just go ahead and type in, respond to the coming storms. Joel 2, they fasted, they prayed, they called a sacred assembly, and there's this promise that comes, and it'll come to pass afterward. Most Pentecostals know it. After what? After fasting, after praying, after rending your heart, it'll come to pass afterward that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Can you say amen? So we talked about that in vision. We talked about John 4, and how in John 4, Jesus had to go to Samaria, which was a place that you would not go if you were a Jew. Jesus is a Jew. How many of you know that? And you wouldn't go there because they were considered half-breeds. There was prejudice. There was racism. And yet it said Jesus had to go to Samaria. He had a divine appointment. And he goes to Samaria, and he meets a woman at the well, and he preaches to her basically and says, I'm the one. I'm the Messiah, if I could just summarize. And this woman who had been with many men and destroyed marriages, and the man that she was with at the time Jesus spoke to her was not her husband, gets saved, basically converted, and leaves her water pot and runs off and witnesses to all the men. I bet she witnesses to even some of the men that she was with. And God uses her to become this evangelist. And this harvest comes in, and he says, say not 4 more months. But now the fields are white with harvest. And in aspect and focus of vision, if you don't understand there's a harvest, I'm telling you, people want Christ. They want answers. They want deliverance. They want freedom. They want to be set free. They don't want to be tormented. They don't want to smoke themselves into oblivion through cannabis, day in, day out, wondering where the breakthrough is. I'm telling you, God is saving people like he saved you, like he saved me. You've got to have a vision for the harvest. There's a harvest of souls. Just like in the context, the fields are white, a picture of a farmer looking over the wheat fields. They're white with harvest. He says they're white with harvest now. And we are seeing people come to Christ at an unprecedented rate. And that will increase, especially if you apply the message I'm about to preach to you. And we talked about the apostolic church last time I preached to you, prior to Evangelist Tiff being with us. Take your Bibles and turn with me now as we continue in the series on vision. Turn to the book of Luke and find the 10th chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the physician Luke, Luke 10, verse 1. If you're able to, stand up for the reading of God's word. If you're not able to stand, that's no problem. Just stand up on the inside. We do that to give honor. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and I will use a New Living Translation much more than I have before. And the reason is the Lord spoke to me to change. It's a great translation. It's in modern English, and so it's easier for people who didn't grow up with the King James, who didn't grow up with the word, to understand what's being said. And there's times where it does not do such a good job of translating out of the original Greek and Hebrew, some Aramaic. And at those times, I will adjust to bring in other versions. Luke 10, it'll be on the screen, verse 1, New Living Translation. Now the Lord chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers into the fields. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to look at 24 verses of scripture. We only read a few. This is a powerful text. To understand why Jesus was manifested, it says in John 10 and 10, and you'll see it on the screen, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. What is God's purpose for you? To have a rich and satisfying. What's God's purpose? Rich and satisfying life. Rich in the truest sense of the word. Real wealth, true riches from heaven. What's the enemy's plan? The enemy's plan is to steal. The enemy's plan is to kill. The enemy's plan is to destroy. You see it on the screen now. That's the gospel all in one verse. Understand that God has a vision to destroy the works of the devil. In fact, he did it. The vision to destroy the works of Satan. It says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, but the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. In verse 18 of Luke 10, verse 18, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. As we look at this text, he saw Satan fall like lightning. That's rather profound. There's this multiplication of workers that takes place. And if you look in Luke 9, you see he sends out the team of six. Two in each team, six teams, six times two is 12. But it's not the two teams of six, six teams of two sent out. Now he sends out 36 teams of two. And if you do the math on that, that's 72. Some manuscripts say just 70. There's some discussion with scholars about whether it's 70 or 72. It is interesting to note that as there's 12 tribes, he picks 12 apostles. It's almost like a restructuring of Israel for the New Testament, although we do not believe in replacement theology. Can you say amen? Amen? Say, what's that? Write it down. We don't believe in it. The church did not replace Israel, and we don't believe in dual covenant either. For those of you that understand that, another message. And so in Luke 9, he sends out these teams. They come back. Such power that Herod hears about it, the White House, the Biden administration hears about the power of God being put on display. Can I say it that way? You understand it? Break it down? Herod hears. And now later, a chapter later here in Luke 10, he doesn't send out the 12. Now he sends out 72. Now some say 70 because there's 70 leaders in Israel, and it goes all the way back to when Moses picked the 70 to be with him on the mountain. But if you'll remember, there was two that prophesied, and really it was 72. It's an interesting study. So he sends out this 72. The point is that there's massive multiplication. A multiplication of workers takes place. A multiplication of leaders takes place. And he saw Satan fall like lightning. Pretty amazing. In verse 3 and 4, he says, now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Wolves are out there. dangerous predators. And then he says, don't take any money with you or traveler's bag in verse 4, nor an extra pair of sandals. Don't even stop to greet anyone on the road. That's interesting. Because how many of you are walking during the course of the day? I mean, you say hi to people. We've started something in our neighborhood, and we started it when we first moved in. Well, I don't know. It's probably going on 14 years ago. We all wave in our neighborhood. Amen. I wave to everybody coming out of every driveway. Anytime I see a familiar car or whatever, I wave to. I'm down in my neighborhood. I'm two fingers off the. Anybody grow up in a farming community? Everybody waves. You know what? Would you start waving? Would you start saying hi to people instead of just looking through them? They're not looking. You know, when you go through a turn and everybody's staring at each other when you go through the turn? Some of you haven't been noticing, but you'll notice now. Start waving. Everybody said, wouldn't it be great if you come to Wasilla and everybody waves at each other? Like it is. How many of you grew up in a small town? Okay, didn't you? We're like, and if you're really tired, you just one finger. But at least you're waving. My whole neighborhood, they all wave to each other now. I think we started that. Let's keep doing it. He's not saying don't wave at anybody. He's not saying be rude. But to understand Near Eastern culture, Middle East culture, it was very hospitable. You would spend a long time talking with people, relating with them. He's saying don't do that. You can say hi, but get going. There is this incredible urgency. Don't take money or traveler's bag. We live in a time in history when the same urgency is upon us. Do you realize that what will happen in this community for the kingdom of God is related directly to us? Did you know that? And when I say us, I certainly mean the body of Christ. Many times there's no harvest, there's no release of God's power because there's no person that'll go. Ezekiel 22 and 30, I sought for a man among them who would make up a wall to stand in the gap before me, but I found none. I found no one. It's such a sad scripture. To the degree that we can release workers, to the degree that we can release laborers into the harvest, is the degree that God will give us a harvest of souls. To the degree that we can release people, is the degree that the kingdom of God will be expanded. That's why I preach before you and encourage you. Get involved. Go to Discover Track. Get in a life group. Why would you do that? Because the harvest is dependent upon whether we release people to serve. You say, that's kind of intense. Yes, we're responsible for it. Angels can't preach the gospel. Only you and I can. I was at the gym today. I'm in the Lord's gym today. But I was at the gym this week. And I was in the open heaven of the sauna once again. And I've decided it's not so much an open heaven unless I go there. What do you mean by that? Lots of people get saved in the sauna at the club I go to. I can't count. And I have all kinds of people that haven't, and I've got some crazy stories, in fact. It's not so much an open heaven, it's just that it's the time when I get to sit with people that many of which don't know the Lord. So when I sit in a sauna with somebody who doesn't know the Lord, I'm looking for an opportunity. Not always. Sometimes people are talking in the sauna. I want them to shut up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. All right. I've got one person. God bless you. Thank you so much. And so I sit down in the sauna, and I've come to expect, and expectancy is an important ingredient to miracles. When you come to church, expect God to move. When I go to the sauna, I'm looking for something to happen. It's just where my faith's at. It's been happening for so many years. So I go in the sauna, and you might be here today. You don't need to raise your hand or anything, but I'm sitting there. I sit down, and he says, Pastor. I'm like, yeah. I don't know him. And he says, yeah, it's a nice church you got. I said, yeah. And we talked about him coming and how God is praying last night and his family praying because they need God's intervention. I said, yeah, it's time to come. And then he said, Pastor, why is it that people are blind? Why is it that people don't believe in God? And so I gave him some answers, and we both were headed out to go work out. We were just in there warming up a little bit. And I went out to the weight room. He was in the weight room too. I'm working out, and the Lord said, go give him the scripture. And the scripture is on the screen, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, who's the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. You see, people don't believe because Satan has blinded them. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message because the glory of Christ, about the glory of Christ, who's the exact likeness of God. So what's amazing to me is in this text, Jesus has a vision of the fields are white, but the laborers are few. So you see him level up and he sends more people out. He sends more people out into the harvest field. He sends these 72, and you see the power God put on display. How are people going to know unless someone is sent? If you never hear the gospel, then you've never heard the good news. The release of laborers is seen as a result of prayer, verse 2. And we've been praying, and we'll continue to pray. And every morning in morning prayer, we pray, oh God, give us souls. Help us to reach the lost. Why do you pray? Because the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Pray, Lord, who's in charge of the harvest, that he would release laborers. So we pray for the harvest. We pray for, do you know that you're here because we prayed? Do you know that thousands of others are coming? Why? Because we're going to pray. Even now, oh God. Jesus releases power to them and he gives them a specific vision. Go out, heal the sick, set the captives free. Their charge was to call and to prepare the town for the visit from Jesus. Their charge was to prepare the town for a visit from Jesus. Now, if you look at actually you look at where they visited, and we don't know that Jesus actually visited all of those towns, but how many of you know that he certainly visited after his resurrection through them? Might be a better way of understanding that, but it's certainly possible that he visited too. They were to demonstrate the authority of the kingdom of God. What were they to do? To demonstrate authority. Let me ask you, are you demonstrating authority? That's seen in twofold. There's a two-way they were to demonstrate authority. One, the healing of the sick. The healing of the sick is an aspect of the kingdom. The casting out of demons is an aspect of the kingdom. And there's some people that have made an idol out of casting out demons. I don't know if you remember a number of weeks ago, maybe over a month ago, there was a conference that was put together, well-meaning, no doubt. I don't think anybody was of evil intent to put together the conference, but I had numerous people saying, Pastor, we need to send our church over there. I said, I'm not sending the church over there. They said, why not? Because I said, because I don't know them. They said, well, we should go. I said, no, we're not doing that. Well, how come? I said, I don't know them. I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know where their hands have been. I don't know what they're going to teach. I don't know their character. I don't know. And then they said, well, this really anointed man of God is going to be there. I'm like, great, awesome. I hope they have a good time. I'm not promoting it. Why not? Because I will stand before God for how I've directed you. So I'm not endorsing just anything. I don't do that. We don't just have anybody, old person, come up here and just preach. That's not how that works. We get calls all the time. Can I come and preach? You know, we're kind about it. And we should be. And it's good to get to know people. Know those who labor among you. In this particular instance, I felt very strongly to say, I'm not endorsing it. If you go, it's on you. So some of you were in that service, and I got pushed back. Come on, Paul calls out different ones. Alexander, he calls out people. Now, I don't use names frequently, but if there's ever some charlatan that comes in to try to hurt people, you better believe I'll be using his name to tell you just watch out. And there's so much garbage on the internet. There's so much insanity, really. So in this case, as time went on, I was contacted by the guest speaker who spoke at that conference. And he sent me a long, spirit-filled letter to say, you were absolutely right not to send your people to the conference. It was the most messed up thing I've ever seen. And he went on to list all the reasons it was messed up. And he said, I'm so sorry if there's been any harm or anything that's happened. God bless you. I hear God's doing great things through Kings. And I was able to call him back, and I deeply respected that. Then I found out he knows people that I know, and I know people that he knows, and he seems to be a legit man of God. But isn't that beautiful that God protected us? Come on, somebody say, thank you, Jesus. But the healing of the sick and the casting out of demons is absolutely biblically accurate and a mandate upon the church to heal the sick and cast out devils. You say, are devils being cast out in the church today? Probably. In Jesus' name, I command you to go. There goes one right now. And it doesn't have to be all messy and crazy. Well, I'm just telling you, if somebody manifests a devil and starts getting crazy in here, you'll be ministered to really quick. You say, well, what happened? Not sure. We'd be led by the Spirit. I bind, gag, and muzzle any manifestation right now. Doesn't have to be messy. And many times I've seen manifestations of darkness in a service, and it's just so that the people would be pulled off of the Word and pulled off of worshiping the Lord and focus on some person slithering around like a snake. You know, mostly in the Western church, but this is a very different message than the first service. Mostly in the Western church, you don't see a bunch of slithering, you know, manifestations because people have cell phones. It's a joke. It's a joke. That just like you, those of you who are staring at your cell phone playing Parcheesi or whatever you're just playing, you're listening now. Okay. But the healing of the sick is absolutely an aspect of the kingdom. The casting out of devils is absolutely an aspect of the kingdom. And Jesus never castigated anybody when he cast a devil at him. He said, Pastor, did you have devils? Many. You have many more? No, I don't. I'm free. Anybody else free? Raise your hand to heaven. Say, thank you, Lord. So you'll see that. It's a crime. It's a crime. Listen to me. It's a crime when people don't understand their authority and they cower in fear about demonic power. When you wake up in the morning, the devil ought to go, oh gosh, he's awake. In fact, Jesus says it. Don't rejoice that devils are subject to me and to you in my name. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You should be known in hell, feared in hell, and known in heaven. Known in heaven, feared in hell. Paul, we heard about. Jesus, we know. Who are you? Seven sons of Sceva. And so they go and they preach the gospel. There's this empowering that takes place. And there's this dividing line. This is intense right here. There's this dividing line between God's blessing and judgment. Two responses. Today, as I we're putting the wheels down, but we won't land for a few minutes. There's two responses that'll happen to this message this afternoon now. One will release the blessing of God in your life. The other one, potential judgment. Wow. What? This is Bible. Right. When you hear the gospel, if you surrender your heart, if you surrender your life, you submit to the good news of Jesus crucified and resurrected, and you repent of your sin, you receive the blessing of God begins to come on your life. If you reject the gospel, well, then what happens? You go to the final verses of what you read. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Verse 13, we didn't read it, but here it is. For if the miracles that have been done in you, in wicked Tyre and Sidon, the people would have repented long ago of their sins, clothing themselves in burlap, throwing ashes on their heads and showing remorse. Yes, Tyre and Sidon, verse 14, Luke 10. Yes, Tyre and Sidon would be better off on the judgment day than you. And you people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No. I mean, this is intense. It's not frequently preached because it's just like, well, that's not warm and loving. Actually, I think it's very loving. If you were going to get spankings, wouldn't you want somebody to tell you? If you were going to receive judgment, wouldn't you want somebody to say, hello? Hello, you need to be born again. You need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you want somebody to say, stop, stop, wait, 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 stop. Jesus loves you, died on a cross, rose again. If you believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, your sins will be forgiven. It'll be thrown as far as the east is from the west. Listen, listen to me. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Wouldn't you want somebody to tell you if you were headed, steaming your way towards judgment? There is a day. There is a day that all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ as a believer, and there's a judgment seat for the unbeliever too, and there's a white, great white throne of judgment, the judgment for nations. If a person welcomes the good news, then there's blessing and peace. If there's rejection of the truth, then there's judgment. How people respond, you'll see it on the screen, how people respond to God's servants and the message of the kingdom is a determining factor, a determining factor in the fulfillment of their destiny. How you respond to this message. Okay, well, that's a lot of authority on your message. It's not my authority. I'm just a mailman. I'm delivering the authority from His word. How you respond to this message will determine whether you grow in destiny and purpose and the blessing of God or whether you begin to veer off. And I thank God that many times I've veered off in the early days of my walk, and the Lord is so gracious through the prayers of His saints to bring me back. He's had mercy and compassion. But I understand that how I respond when the word is preached is what will happen as a determining factor, if I could say it that way, in the fulfillment of my destiny, individually and corporately. And we are proclaiming the blessing of God and the peace of God, but also goes with that judgment for those who reject the good news. All right, lift your hands to heaven and say, praise God, I haven't rejected the good news. Praise God, I haven't rejected. Hallelujah. Bump your neighbor and say, oh, don't reject the good news. Okay. And the good news can be bad news if you reject it. The disciples had a greater revelation of God and His kingdom. They had a revelation of His power working through Him, but not just through Him, through them. They had a revelation of His power not just working through Him, but through those who would believe on Him. Take your Bibles, turn with me, please. Mark 16. Come on, just a few minutes more and we will conclude our service this morning, afternoon, pardon me. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Mark 16, 17, in My name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands and will drink deadly poison and will not hurt them at all. They'll place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Come on, look at your hands. Back in the 70s, I've used this illustration a number of times before. I remember hearing about this particular guy. One of my friends said, oh, you have to watch out for him. His hands are registered. Anybody ever heard that? His hands are like you have to go, like you have to register a gun or something. Like you go have to register a weapon. You got to register your hands because you're like the snatch a pebble from my hand kind of guy. Before I was in ministry, I did a number of different, before I was in full-time ministry as a pastor, I was still in ministry, but was a tour guide, and I would lead these bikes, people on bicycles, which can be very challenging, especially when they haven't ridden since the war. That is World War II. We really had, I had a guy on my tour. He says, tell us when the last time you rode a bike. It's just part of our interview process as we're at 10,000 feet, gonna ride a bike down a volcano. Be good to know whether somebody knows how to ride a bike or not. And this guy said, well, I haven't ridden really since the war. I said, Vietnam? No. World War II. I said, you might want to stay in the van for the first part of the tour. And all those years ago, I started having accidents on my tour. And it was very disturbing. Let me just tell you, if you drive a bicycle at 20 miles an hour into a lava field, it leaves a mark. And so we had one particular incident that very, very disturbing for me. In fact, the lady died. And I was with her husband kneeling. She had passed. I'm kneeling next to her, and my heart broke in half. And I began to just call her back. In Jesus' name, live, live. I mean, I was so disturbed. And she just gasped. Her breath came back. I think she got raised again from the dead. She did get raised again from the dead. I don't know if it was just sovereign or. And I was so bothered. Pastor Karen remembers it well. We were courting back then. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of people crashing, getting irreparably damaged. That's what would happen. And so the Lord gave me this scripture. And he said, what I want you to do is I want you to kneel before you take a tour down, do all that you're doing. You line everybody up like you do. We would line them up one bike after another, so it would go for quite a distance. And as he said, I want you to kneel down, and I want you to pray until my power comes on you. And when my power comes on you, get up, have them all lift a hand, and then I want you to go right down the line of every bike rider, and I want you to slap them five while praying in the Spirit. And when you lay hands on them, they're going to get anointed to ride, and you're not going to have any more problems. That first day, I'll never forget it. I'm ready to take off. There's 100-plus people waiting to do the ride, and each tour has to go off, and then 13 minutes later, I forget, there's a pause, and then the next tour goes, because otherwise they're all piled up on top of each other. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there I am. I'm one of the first groups going off, and so it's time for me to kneel and time for me to high-five, which is really anointing them for the ride. So I kneel down. I'm like, okay, Lord, come upon me with your power. Now would be good. And I keep kneeling, and it seemed like an eternity. And one of the other guides says, hey, Father Bracken, hurry up. Yeah. I have to wait. I have to obey. And then, boom, power hits me. I get up. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Everybody raise your hand. Do you know I never had one more accident? Not one. And I made more tips. I set the tip record of tours. I made more. Come on, I was a tither, giver. I had more tips released in the history. I had the highest tip count of any tour guide up until recent years. I don't know what it is now. Come on, look at your hands. Come on, say they're registered in heaven. Hey, some of you got your hands in your pockets all the time. How are you going to heal the sick if you don't use them? All right. We've been chosen. Everybody say we've been chosen. We've been chosen. God has chosen us. I know. I wouldn't have picked me. And some of you wouldn't have picked you either. But the Lord did. And he chose us. And he selected us. And appointed us. He appointed 72. He appoints people to go. Which people? Anyone who's born again has been appointed. Anyone who's received Jesus is to be appointed. Now there's some who are with apostolic unction. There's evangelists and pastors and teachers. There's different gifts, certainly. But all of us are supposed to work together as a body. Why? Because the harvest is great. The labors are few. God is releasing workers and laborers among us. Can you say amen? Can you say, I've been chosen? Bump your neighbor and say, he chose you too. Go ahead, tell him. All right, God's speaking to us in two levels. Individually, Jesus desires to use us to destroy the works of the devil. I said, Jesus desires to use us to destroy the works of the devil. You have to have a vision for that. You have to see that. If you don't see that, then you'll just think that God's going to use somebody else. A homeless lady in Oahu met Dr. James Morocco when he was a young man. They felt so bad. Pastor Colleen, Pastor Morocco felt so bad for them that they decided to rent an apartment for him. Her. They put her in her apartment and put her up, and not months later, they were paying her rent every month. Months later, 6 months later, she died. And they got a call from their pastor that said, do you remember that lady that you were renting that apartment for? He said, yes. He said, well, she died. Oh, that's terrible. Said, yeah, she died this morning. I think she was hit by a bus, actually, is the story. He said, yeah, you know, something else, Pastor Jim. She was very wealthy. She was like an heiress, millions of dollars. And Dr. Morocco, Pastor Jim, got so angry. Oh, that's nice. Thanks for telling me. He hangs up and he thinks to himself, what? I'm sacrificing to pay her apartment, and she could pay for that and a lot of other people's apartments. And just gets angry, like, Lord, really? And the Lord spoke to him. Imagine that. Said, yeah, it's just like you. I've given you power, and you only use a small fraction of it. Let's all lift our hands to heaven and say, oh, God, help us. We're like bag people in the church. Jesus desires to use you. Laying on of hand to bring healing to those that are sick. Don't just walk past a sick person. Be bold. If you see somebody that, anytime I ever see someone at the store, it's a deal I have with God. In fact, because I'm saying it'll probably happen this week. If I go to the store, which I don't go to the store too often, thank God for Pastor Karen and her ability to shop. I go to the store and I see cut marks on someone's forearm. Is an instant indicator that they're getting the gospel. No matter what's happening, I need to tell them about Jesus. Usually you don't see them because they have sleeves on and they hide that. There's a lot of people that cut themselves, maybe even here. It's demonic. And you can be set free from that thing. Got to have a vision to be used by God. And all of us must see ourselves as recruiters as I bring this to a close. Worship team, please. We got to see ourselves as recruiters, allowing others to get involved in God's work. If we're going to be used by God and destroy the works of the devil, there's got to be a willingness on all of our parts to allow people to help us. Over the last week, I had a number of our younger staff share the offering. Somebody said, why did you do that, Pastor? I said, because if we don't have younger people preaching and teaching and sharing in the offerings and laying hands on them, we're all going to be old and die. Now, I'm going for 120. I don't know about you, 120 years. I'm going for it. We must see a great release of laborers. If our youth don't get on fire, and they are, hallelujah. Over 100 kids, I believe Wednesday it'll hit 120. I said Wednesday, I believe it'll hit 120. Where's my drummer? 120, Daniel, 120. Come on, everybody say 120 on Wednesday. Why would you even say that? Because we need to reach the youth, children. You know we have a great need for children's workers? Some of you, God spoke to you and you're just not doing it because you want to sit here and hear. Listen, serve. Serve. Catch another service. Listen to this one later. Serve in the back. We need another 20 workers. Why? Because children are coming in. Not everybody qualifies. You got to pass a background check. If you wouldn't pass that, no need apply. And all of the parents said, amen. Sometimes we approach things the wrong way. Think that we're imposing on people. Don't ever, all of you leaders, listen to me. Don't ever think you're imposing on people. So why not? They're tired. No. That's a wrong view. The heavenly view is this. If you'll allow people the opportunity to serve and they experience the joy of serving God. Oh, the joy of serving God. I think back when Pastor Ann says to me, I want you to set up the sound for the commission leaders meeting every month. So I had to set up those Mackies, set up sound and get the mic ready for Dr. Morocco. I remember one month I forgot. She stopped calling and reminding me, and I spaced it. So somebody else had to set up the sound because I dropped the ball. And I remember, oh my gosh, that sound. I get there, it's already done. Pastor Ann says, you don't need to do it anymore because I said, no, come on. Come on. Oh, I learned how to set up sound. The joy that would fill my heart. The joy that would fill my heart that I would get to prepare the mic stand for Dr. Morocco, who was like Superman to me. I mean, he was like Jesus in shoe leather. I'd make sure the mic worked, cord. Don't ever think you're imposing. I'm not afraid of pushing you to serve, because you're going to stand before the Lord in the end, and how you served him or didn't, you'll be judged for that. And I don't want to be judged by not giving you an opportunity. And every single person here, listen, they say, well, they don't need us. They already have a sound guy. We need 50 more sound guys. They already have greeters. We need 100 more greeters. We already have ushers. We need another 50 to 100 ushers. Are you serious? Yes. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if we had team A, team B, team C, and team D, and that you could only serve on when your team A, B, C, or D, that once a week you had teams that rotated every week? Wouldn't that be amazing? It could happen. I said it could happen. See yourself as a recruiter and get involved. Fourthly, stay filled with the Spirit. So God's talking to us individually. Stay filled with the Spirit. My time is gone. As a church, God's speaking to us. We must worship him for all he's done, yet stay humble. They get rebuked. Somebody said to me, I've never experienced God's power like I do here at King's. And there can be a tendency, if you don't see things right, to be like, yes, it's because we got the anointing. Power of God. Power of God. Rabba-ka-ba-ba. You'll notice when they come back, they're like, oh yeah, we were casting out devils. John, did you see that woman? That you laid hands on that lady and she shrieked and like a scalded dog, the devil left her. Now she's in her right mind. In fact, she's over there. Jesus, look. Hey, how's it going? Hey. And Peter, oh, that guy that was crippled and he got healed. Peter, that was legit in the name of Jesus. Lord, in your name, demons flee. People got healed. Woo! Yeah! Let's go! And Jesus says what? He says, careful. Don't rejoice that you've got power. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice your names are known in heaven. Rejoice in your identity, not in the power. A lot of people worship power. Don't worship power. Worship God, and power will manifest. You've got to see a proliferation of the kingdom of God. Life groups. You stop off and see that life group wall out there. You go see it. Go look. See where you can find a place to plug in. I think we have over 70 some odd life groups. Our goal is to hit 100. We're almost there. Almost. Maybe in the next couple of weeks. Some of you are leaders. Maybe you can just jump on board right now. You're like, I'm busy. Really? Come on. Hour and a half. Let's go. You can do it. This is God's time for harvest. This is God's time. And he's more than able. Who am I to deny what the Lord could do? I'm humbled this morning. My life was so broken, I could not even look people in the face and have a conversation. I stand before you, preach to thousands. How did that happen? I don't even know. Just kept showing up. Yes, Pastor Ann. Just kept serving, kept doing something. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what God could do if you realized you were chosen? Can you imagine what God could do if you realized that you're his method? That God's speaking through you, that God could lay hands through you, that through your hands, hospitals could empty, schools would turn around. It's harvest time.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.